The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, January 24th, 2022. I'm on your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, Tim Ma-fucking-Geddes.
Bless, how are you doing on this beautiful Monday?
Tim, I'm doing pretty good. I am tired because last night I stayed up late watching Euphoria for the first time. And let me tell you, I was only planning to watch one episode. I was like, you know what? Everybody's talking about this Euphoria thing. I know it has Zendaya and I love Zendaya. Let me watch the first episode and see what it's all about. I kid you not, I watched three episodes, and these are hour-long episodes. I watched three episodes. I contemplated watching the fourth episode, but I was like, I need a break. Because that is a heavy show. I don't know if you've seen Euphoria. Oh man, that show goes places.
Yeah. So I actually saw episode four first.
Oh, interesting.
Just because Gia was watching and I was working on some stuff and I didn't have time to do it. But episode four caught my attention so hard where I'm like, what the fuck is this show? Degrassi always says it goes there. Euphoria goes there, my friend.
Dude, that's actually the reason why I wanted to watch Euphoria is because I believe it was HBO Max who announced recently that they're going to bring back Degrassi and it is going to be like hour-long episodes, which I can't wait for. I can't wait at all. But after hearing that announcement, I got in the mood. I was like, dude, I need that hit right now. And I know Euphoria touches on like a lot of similar, like it's high school students who are doing drugs and shit. I was like, let's do it. Let's watch this. And dude, like, when I tell you that Zendaya is doing drugs in this show, like drugs, I was not prepared from the get-go, from episode one. Like they're already, they throw you right into it. Like nobody, there is not one character in this show who's having a great time. Like all of them are doing their own fucked up thing in their own fucked up way. And I can't take my eyes off.
Bless, I'm very excited for you. I think that this might literally become one of your favorite shows of all time. It is 10
out of 10. It might be. Like, honestly, if I think about the genres of TV that I really love, I do have like a soft spot for high school drama. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it is because I grew up in Degrassi. But like,
I don't know if it's because I grew up going to high school.
Probably because I went to a high school one or two times. But yeah, like between Degrassi and like even Riverdale, you know, even though Riverdale kind of turned into trash a few seasons in, I fucking love Riverdale season one.
This is much better than that, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I've been having a fun time with that. Tim, how are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing great. And staying on the Euphoria thing for just one sec. For years, Gia's been telling me like, Zendaya went to like this high school, like the same high school circuit that she did. And so like she would go to like stage productions that Zendaya was in. Mm-hmm. Totally burying the lead that Gia's dad was Zendaya's principal.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, that is way closer a connection. What the fuck?
What I want to know is like how much did in high school did Zendaya act like her character in the show? Because she plays that character very well.
I doubt very much.
You don't think she was in high school just taking any pill, like any pill that's available to her. She is taking it. It's wild. It's wild. Go watch Euphoria or don't if you're squeamish because there's a lot going on.
There's a lot to scream at.
Enough about that, Tim. Let's talk about today's stories because it is a packed news day. Today's stories include Pokemon Legends Arceus possibly being amazing, Elden Ring going gold, and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com. Or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, a new episode of PS I Love You XOXO is recording later today on Patreon. We're going to be talking all about the PlayStation side of the Activision Blizzard acquisition and asking, will Xbox Game Pass ever come to PlayStation? That's the magic question today. You can catch that later live on Patreon or when it goes up tomorrow for everyone over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis at James Davis Makes, Blackjack, and Pranksy. Today we're brought to you by Purple Mattress and Babbel, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have seven stories today.
Baker's Dozen!
That's a high news day for me. Usually I like to aim for five or six. We got seven. And I had to make some cuts. There was also a news story about like the N64 formulation on Switch is like slightly better. They made some fixes in Zelda Ocarina of Time. Basically, when you're in the mirror dimension, there's the reflections in the water. I had to cut that because that's small time compared to the news that we got
no
today.
Time to talk about that news that we just talked about.
No time to talk about that, which I really wanted to talk about, but I really couldn't fit it in. And so shout out to that. Let's talk about story number one. Pokemon Legends Arceus is apparently really good, ? I'm going to start with Chris Scullion at VGC. I have a couple of sources, but I'm going to start with Chris Scullion because Chris Scullion basically combines multiple sources into one. Chris writes, a number of Japanese video game websites have been posting their first impressions of Pokemon Legends Arceus following a recent hands-on event in Japan. Famitsu praised the game for moving the Pokemon series in a new direction, saying, quote, it's safe to say that this game is completely different from previous titles. The first thing that impressed me when I started playing was the exhilarating feeling of moving around freely in the vast world, end quote. Game Watch also delivered a positive preview, saying the ability to ride Pokemon, quote, strongly matches the worldview, making you feel more like you're adventuring in the Pokemon world, which I personally found to be an excellent system, end quote. It also celebrated the way the more traditional Pokemon battle system is integrated into the open world gameplay. Quote, this system, which successfully combines the action of this title with traditional Pokemon battles, is highly accomplished, and I especially appreciate the fact that Pokemon battles are a means to a different end, which fits the worldview of the game, it said.
Was worldview a, like, phrase that the preview guy said a bunch of times?
It has to be, right? This reminds me of, like... This reminds me of Returnal, where everybody started using the word biomes after Returnal because they said it in an email, and now everybody's using it for everything. Yeah,
me and Bless just gonna drop. We're gonna drop worldview just constantly now for every new story.
We gotta find our own thing. We gotta find like just for whatever random. I guess there's a lot of open world games, right? So we gotta find whatever buzz term that we're gonna use. I kind of funny to describe every single open world game going forward. I'll think about it. I'll meditate about it.
Good.
So that's VGC, right? Over the weekend, a friend of the show, Laura Kate Dale, at Laura K Buzz on Twitter, tweeted a thread on Twitter talking about her time with the game after getting a retail copy. It's a longer thread that I've condensed into maybe like a third of the thread. I recommend go checking out that thread if you want the full thing. And she also mentioned that like the thread contains light spoilers. I edited anything out that I considered spoilerish. It didn't seem like there was much there that was spoilerish, but I know people are, again, like, concerned when it comes to Pokemon, and so I did my best, everybody. I did my best.
I think you did a great job. I read the whole thread too, and I also don't think that there's too much spoilery talk in it. It just does get interesting about what qualifies as spoiler and what doesn't, specifically because Nintendo and Pokemon Company are infamous for putting weird restrictions around preview and review content of what we can and can't say. Like, they'll just be like ridiculous things where it's like, you can't talk about all these core elements or whatever of this video game. So I think Laura did a really good job of kind of doing a preview following kind of some internal rules that I think feel better than Nintendo's rules normally when it comes to actually doing a good preview for a video game.
Yeah, exactly. She did a really good job breaking down exactly what the game is and what the experience playing the game is like. And so to jump into her Twitter thread, it reads like this. It's no secret that retail copies of the new Pokemon game are out in the wild after retailers started breaking street date. With no review or even preview articles out 5 days pre-release, I think it's time for my spoiler-light preview of my first 40 hours with a retail copy. So how is Pokemon Legends Arceus? It's the most I've enjoyed a new Pokemon game in years, and I say this as someone with 1,000+ hours shiny hunting in every game this gen. As an obsessive level Pokemon fan since the series' inception, I'm in awe of this game. It's not flawless, but it's ambitious. At its core, Pokemon Legends Arceus feels like Pokemon made in the Breath of the Wild engine, stripped back to focus on the Gotta Catch 'Em All tagline, with a dose of beginner's first Monster Hunter excursion and hunt structure, and a robust side quest system to build up an evolving hub town. So how does it actually play? Well, the core gameplay loop is pick up quests from a hub town, then head out to large but contained zones to complete those quests and work towards Pokédex completion through captures and battles. Once you're through the tutorial, you're just sort of left to wander and explore without hand-holding. Go catch Pokemon and work on your Pokedex. No interruptions, just go have fun. This is the most Pokemon has felt like a living world. NPCs acknowledge other regions, new villagers move into your town, Pokemon have new animations and behave differently to each other. New move animations, battles are faster, and take place in your actual location. Traversal is increasingly opened up by certain ride Pokemon, which help cross bigger, big areas faster when backtracking for dex completion. It's super fluid to swap on the fly between traversal options. Everything moves so fast, nothing makes you pause and wait. The new gameplay flow is incredibly satisfying, but will be divisive potentially. I love it, personally. That's where I stop for her preview thread. Of course, go over to her thread if you want to read the full thing. She gets into a lot of details there. But here, Tim, I assume you saw the thread over the weekend. Yeah. What were your thoughts first reading it?
Oh my God. It's to say relief isn't even like a big enough word. Like, this is just such a like, whew, oh my God, it's good. I can't believe it. Like, I trust Laura for sure. And this is just the best sign that we've had so far, because all the trailers and all the official marketing has been at best fine, I would say. But I think at worst, not good, because of the kind of the tech issues with some of the frame rate, just how empty things seemed, and really kind of looking at until the gameplay trailer they showed last week. And even that, I feel, didn't do the best job, because they just showed a lot of what we've seen before and kind of a new framing. But it just kind of seemed like, what is the game? What are we actually doing? Like, how, what's going on in this big world? Because it's complicated with something like Pokemon, where we all want to see it reinvented, but we also don't want it to be too far from what we loved about it in the first place, right? So it's a tough balance, but then it also looks like Breath of the Wild. So there's going to be comparisons where it's like, what are the expectations here? And it's funny, because going back to the VGC article here, one of the Famitsu quotes was, the first thing that impressed me when I started playing was the exhilarating feeling of moving around freely in the vast field. That feels like such a weird compliment to give a game in 2022, because that sounds like Hyrule Field in Ocarina of Time type praise, right? And Pokemon always has been on this different scale, where it's just talked about differently because of how revered the franchise is. But everyone wants something different from it. So the fact that multiple people are now saying that this is delivering what people are looking for, I think is very exciting. Do I fully believe this is going to be the dramatic shift that we all kind of hoped? I don't know. Like, I'm excited that in a week we're going to be able to find out. Like, this game's actually coming out this soon, which is incredibly cool to me. I would have never bet on that, like, at all. I would have thought it got delayed based on how little we've seen. I do think it's bizarre how little we've seen of this game. Like, yeah. It makes no sense when you look back at the way Nintendo does things, the way Pokemon Company does things. Like, how is this happening that a Twitter thread from Laura is the most information we got about the game less than a week out from release? Like, this thread is going to turn the tide for so many people, of going from not interested at all to I'm pre-ordering this now in the final moments of its pre-release.
Yeah, and I there's a chat that went by from Unique Technique who said, I hated how everybody shit on this game from the jump. And the thing there is that I think you're right in terms of, you know, the marketing for this game not only was like wasn't great, I think it was bad, honestly. I don't think the marketing for this game was great. From the get-go, I remember us live reacting to the first reveal of it and us all freaking out because of the idea of what this Pokemon game could be. Oh, this is the Pokemon game of our dreams. This is the Pokemon game where it is, for a console, it is this big open world, you're exploring, you know, better graphics, art style, all these things. But every single time they've shown it since then, they've not shown it in a way that's really done it any justice. You know, and the things that they talk about, the things that they've touched on in their trailers and their gameplay trailers have been focused on, I guess, the parts of the game that don't seem as interesting, right? Like, I guess it's the thing of, how do you market a game that seems to be Pokemon mixed with Monster Hunter, mixed with Breath of the Wild, without overhyping it and also like getting Pokemon fans excited for fans that have oftentimes been disappointed in the past before. Like, we're coming off of playing Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and both of us came out of that going, yeah, like, it is what it is. It's kind of boring to play. Like, it is the traditional, it's Pokemon. And I feel like that's been the conversation about Pokemon for so long. The fact that, yeah, like, it doesn't really innovate. It doesn't really go for it. And they don't really have to, because they can pretty much put out what are essentially yearly to bi-yearly installments of this franchise, and people take it and they're like, yeah, it's Pokemon. It will shiny hunt, and we'll do the things, and then we'll move on from it. I think we've been kind of trained to not expect any sort of big innovation from Pokemon Company, aside from like, here's Pokemon Unite and a MOBA. Here's Pokemon Sleep, an app that you can use to sleep. Right? It's like weird random side stuff that we'll get from time to time that we go, all right, but like, are we ever gonna get a big new Pokemon experience that is core? This being that, I feel like it's hard to believe, but you know, this thread from Laura K. Dale, I think, is the like you said, right, the most that we've gotten in terms of, oh, this seems like it could be it. This seems like something that's going to be promising, that is going to be fun.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. And there's always the different levels, right, where there's the critic reception and then there's the community reception. And I think even with that, it splits even more when you're talking about something like Pokemon that has such a rabid fan base that cares so much about nitty gritty details of things that a lot of other people would just kind of not worry about too much. And in terms of what type of Pokedex it's using and all that stuff, I think that from what we've heard about this game, it's done a good job of like giving it reasons why it's a paired back experience in certain ways in terms of what the dex is, because this is the first dex ever made, and like that's kind of the point. And I'm excited seeing what they're saying here and a little bit of what they've been hinting at story-wise of filling out the legend of Arceus. Like, what is it? What's it going to be? And I feel like a week ago I had much less faith than I do now in that story and in what they're trying to do. We'll still see. I'm still a little hesitant that it's going to deliver what I am looking for from this, but 1 week away, we'll find out, and we'll all be playing it together. So that's cool.
Yeah, exactly. In the previews in Laura's article, honestly, exceed my expectations of what I was even expecting before. Where since seeing that first initial reveal, I've come down to being like, okay, this is probably going to be a Pokemon game that is open, empty, and I'll be doing grindy tests, right? It might still be that at its core, but it seems like even with that, what they're nailing here is the formula, and what they're nailing here is making that grind satisfying. And I like what Laura mentions about them really boiling it down to the gotta catch them all tagline, and how they're really focusing in on that. And for me, that's what made Breath of the Wild so good, right? In the comparisons to Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild was great because I think they stripped back and went, hey, what makes Legend of Zelda great? What makes an open world great? And we'll focus on that. Let's just focus on freely exploring and, you know, like letting the player get lost in a world. If Pokemon Legends Arceus is able to look at Pokemon and break it down to its core and go, what are the core things about Pokemon that fans like? How do we take that and recontextualize it to a new formula that is going to be to let us do something bigger and something different and something that we know works in a Monster Hunter and other games like that? How can we do it? That has me super excited. Like, this is, again, the most I've been excited for a Pokemon game now in a very long time.
Yeah, and another thing that I think is really cool that she gets into in her thread, and I'm not going to get into the specifics of, but just there's an idea of you learning about the Pokemon more than you have in the traditional games, and catching multiple of a species actually having a reason and a gameplay element, and it kind of connects you to these different Pokemon. I love that idea because I think one of the reasons Pokemon's so difficult to nail generation after generation is it is a product that has grown and kind of just been there for every generation of kids as they continue to get, you know, as people age out of it, right? I'm a 32-year-old man, so I played Red and Blue, Gold and Silver. I mean, I played them all, but like those are mine, right? And I will always have the memories of that set of Pokemon and what that set of Pokemon meant to me, and understanding which ones can use Fly and which ones can use Cut and all that shit, right? But then every generation of kids has their own stories of that with a whole new cast of characters and stuff. I play those games and I've never connected with them the same way. There'll be one or two or three, like a couple of them, that throughout your game of the different regions, you find a connection with them because of whatever reason, right? But I liked that this, to me, reading the thread, I'm like, I feel more interested in these, a bunch of different Pokemon that I wouldn't have cared about before because it's being recontextualized. Mm-hmm. And I hope that that remains true. And I hope that that actually is what this experience turns out to be.
Hell yeah, I 100% agree. Tim, speaking of Nintendo, let's hop into story number two. An unannounced Kirby game has seemingly been teased in a Japanese magazine? This is Jordan Midler at Video Games Chronicle. A Japanese Nintendo magazine is teasing the announcement of a new Kirby game, according to a translation posted by a Twitter user. According to user Dede Dio, the teaser image in the January 2021 Nintendo Dream Magazine translates to, quote, "New issue will release on Monday, February 21st. In addition to detailed news about Kirby and the Forgotten Land, we've also included a new game that we didn't expect, .. I have a feeling that a new title will be announced," end quote. It's not clear if the publication is referring to a new Kirby title specifically or just a new game of an unknown series. However, 2022 marks Kirby's 30th anniversary, and Nintendo has said to expect activity. Tim, what do you make of this one?
Expect activity.
Expect activity.
I don't know, man. I think it'd be weird because it's not like Nintendo has 3DS anymore, right? Like back in the day, would it made sense? Okay, cool. They're making the Kirby Wii U game, but they're also making the 3DS game, and they're different games and whatever. Nintendo's proven that there's no consistency with anniversaries at all, mm-hmm. with how different franchises get treated, whether it's the 10th, 20th, 30th, 35th, 37th. It kind of doesn't matter, especially in this day and age when, you know, plans have shifted so much year to year, that I don't think that they're really kind of actively targeting anniversaries for anything of major interest. Like, sure, there might be like a merch line or a controller or whatever, but like I don't think that they're gonna go too far out to like make this the year of the Kirby. Like,
yeah,
Luigi, never forget. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being a totally different game that's not Kirby that they're talking about, like some game that we haven't heard announced yet. But I can't really wrap my head around two Kirby games coming out, unless it was like, I don't think we're gonna get like a Kirby collection. I don't know.
Yeah, like it's hard to think of what it would be. Kirby is one of those franchises that I feel like they just put out games, man. Like they just, like every year I feel like there's a new Kirby title and it's like, oh, this is a fighter, okay, I guess. And like I don't really hear many people talk about the games, but I mean there's a fan base out there because they keep putting them out. I wouldn't be surprised if it was just a, hey, here's Kirby 30 in the way that we had Mario 35 or Tetris 99.
That's like a good call.
Yeah, like maybe it could totally be something like that. I think that would fit in line and make sense to announce this way. I think that's the other thing, is that I don't see Nintendo as the company to announce a new game through a magazine, especially if it's a game that might come out worldwide. Like, would you really want to do it through a Japanese like physical magazine publication? I feel like that'd be a weird way to do it. So I don't really know what I'm expecting, but I'm expecting something really small. If it is like a Kirby thing.
It could be, well, no, they said new game, so it's probably not this, but just to put it out there, it could be Kirby and the Crystal Shards, which was the N64 game. Ooh, coming to Switch Online.
Yeah, but, yeah, and that can make sense too.
Yeah.
I've come to learn not to expect much from Nintendo with anniversaries. Like, I'm done, like, expecting and getting hyped for what are they going to do this year for this thing. Just because I think they've taught us not to expect much. Like, we got Skyward Sword last year for Zelda, I guess, and like, did we even get a few other things? I'm sure it was probably merch or something that dropped, but like nothing substantial.
Yeah,
it saddens me, Tim.
Yeah, that is what it is, man. Nintendo.
Tim, let's hop into some exciting news. Story number 3, Elden Ring has gone gold. This is from, I got to copy and paste the text because I did not copy and paste the author of the article. It comes from Gamatsu. Sal Romano at Gamatsu. Elden Ring has gone gold. From Software's Yasuhiro Katao confirmed in a Taipei Game Show 2022 presentation video. That means core development is complete and the game is ready for mass production to meet its release date. Quote, "Development is going smoothly," said Katao in the video. Quote, "Elden Ring was originally slated for release in January of this year, and it has since been pushed back once to February. But please be assured, the title will be ready for sale on February 25th. The master version has already been submitted, and right now the team is working on a day one patch to make sure everything in the game is just so," end quote. Exciting stuff.
Unbelievable, man. Congrats to the team. That's so crazy in this world that they managed to do this. Like, this game's coming out next month, man. Nuts. We're getting this, we're getting Horizon, we're getting Pokemon Arceus. What a time to be a gamer, man.
I asked Greg this like last week on PS Love You, and he said that he's gonna get into Elden Ring despite Horizon and all these other games coming out. Where are you at, Tim? I think you mentioned that you want to try it out before.
I'm gonna try it out, but I'm not expecting I'm gonna stick with it, but I am gonna try this one out.
What does Elden Ring need to do for you to get you to stick with it?
I don't know. We'll see. I don't think that it's gonna stick with me just because of the type of gamer I am, which is a punk ass bitch. Blessing, if that's what you're asking.
That's fair. That is what I was asking. I don't know how I'm going to play all these games. That's kind of where I'm at.
And that's another thing too, is like, I'm going to be playing the shit out of Horizon at that point. Hopefully still Pokemon at that point.
Yeah, like if Pokemon Legends Arceus really does live up to what Laura and what those previews are saying, I can see myself getting heavily into that game. That game really does sound like the Pokemon game of my dreams, or at least the Pokemon game that I've maybe been asking for a while. So I plan to spend a lot of time with that. Dying Light 2 is coming out. There's Horizon Forbidden West that I'm going to spend a lot of time in. There's Sifu that I plan to beat. God, yes. And hopefully, like, maybe I can knock that out on a weekend. Who knows? But, like, that game looks fun as hell, and I want to play the hell out of that game. There's Ollie Ollie World, which I'm also looking forward to. There's Rumbleverse coming out mid-February. I have no idea how I'm going to fit in all these games. And realistically, it might be impossible to fit in all these games, so I might have to, like, push some of them to later in March or something. But I cannot wait for Elden Ring. Elden Ring is definitely one that I have on my priority list.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely top three, and it's not three. You know, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Top three, and it's not three. Tim, more for Elden Ring, story number four. From Software says, Elden Ring can be completed in around 30 hours. This is Tom Ivan at VGC. From Software has confirmed that Elden Ring can be completed in around 30 hours. During a Taipei Game Show 2022 video interview, producer Yasuhiro Katao was asked how long it takes to beat the upcoming game. Quote, this will differ significantly by the player, but in terms of targets set during development, the idea is that the main route should be able to be completed within around 30 hours, he replied. Quote, the game as a whole is quite massive and contains many dozens more hours worth of gameplay. But if you're talking about the main route only, it shouldn't take much longer than that, end quote. Which sounds about right. That sounds like a From Software game. Those games, I would say, take around 30 hours to mainline and complete. I think it being an open world, I might have expected a little bit more, but I do like that they're committing to that 30-hour structure. I think that's going to allow us to, like, at least for me as a player, it's going to allow me to get through it. And then in the way that I like to play open world games, I like to circle back to everything else, like all the side stuff afterwards, and clear things out after I beat the main quest. And so that excites me. I love the 30-hour mark, and yeah, still looking forward to Elden Ring.
Hell yeah.
Tim, before I hop into the next news story, I want to let people know that they can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where they can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
When it comes to getting a good night's sleep, there's only one thing you need. A good mattress. Forget all those gimmicks like mattress toppers and weighted blankets. If your mattress is terrible, your sleep is going to be terrible. So get the only thing you truly need, a Purple mattress. Only Purple mattresses have the Gel Flex Grid. It's a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around pressure points and doesn't retain heat. How do I know? Well, I talked to a young man named Timothy Geddes, and Timothy swears by the Purple pillow. Then, on top of that, he used to have a roommate named Joey Noel who swore by her Purple mattress. That's right. Kind of funny sleeping all over this purple stuff and loving every minute of it. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. Get a Purple mattress. Go to purple.com/kindoffunny and use the code kindoffunny. For a limited time, you can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/kindoffunny. Code kindoffunny for 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/kindoffunny. Promo code kindoffunny. Terms apply. There are a ton of worthwhile goals to set for yourself this year, and personally, learning a new language with Babbel is at the top of my list. Babbel is the addictively fun, fast, and easy language learning app that has sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Greg, and as you know, I'm in love with a French-Canadian named Geneviève Saint-Ange. And Jen, of course, first language is French. She learned English later on, and I've been trying to learn French, but I keep falling off. I've got Babbel on my phone. I'm ready to do it in 2022. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. You can choose from 14 different languages like Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. I could probably use that for English. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of three. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code kindoffunny, all one word. That's Babbel.com, code kindoffunny. Babbel, language for life.
Next news story, Tim, is one that I think at the top is going to sound boring to many people, but by the time we get to the end of this one, I think people will be very fascinated with it. Story number five, Unity has acquired Ziva Dynamics. This is Chris Kerr at Game Developer. Unity has expanded its suite of real-time character creation tools with the acquisition of VFX company Ziva Dynamics. Ziva technology has been used in a number of game, movie, and television projects, including Game of Thrones, Godzilla vs. Kong, and Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. The company is described by Unity as a, quote, leader in sophisticated simulation and deformation, machine learning, and real-time character creation, and it's the latest visual effects studio to be acquired by the engine maker after the high-profile purchase of Weta Digital. Unity announced the deal using a Ziva-created digital human called Emma, whose model was trained with over 30 terabytes of unique 4D data and is capable of emoting using over 72,000 trained shapes.
What do you mean by 4D data? What is that?
Oh, you're about to see, Tim. You're about to see. Quote, this is deep tech for amazingly realistic animation and incredibly emotive performances, letting characters shine even in demanding real-time environments. And soon, it'll be accessible to artists and creators of all levels, reads a Unity blog. Kevin, I sent you over a video that I want to watch together. We're not going to watch the whole thing because it's a longer one, but I do want to watch the beginning of it because it's the video of Emma, right? You can go ahead and press play here.
Hi, I'm a virtual human created by Ziva Dynamics. I'm powered by state-of-the-art biomechanical simulation, and I'm running in real-time in Unity. But enough about me. I have some even more amazing news to share with you today. I'm excited to announce that today, Ziva, my creators, are now part of the Unity family. Unity and Ziva have a shared vision of making realistic, lifelike character creation accessible and scalable.
How uncanny is this?
Artists, regardless of
you can go ahead and pause it there, Kevin. I just wanted us to see like it in motion because I saw this morning. I was like, this is fucking crazy.
Man, yeah, it's crazy how much tech has advanced and how Uncanny Valley still is there where we're like, that ain't a human. That's wrong. But we have gotten to the point that we'll debate for a year whether the PlayStation conference was CG people or not. Right, Kev?
Oh, my God. They're fake. There's something up with them. And it's fucked up they're not telling us about it, you know?
What, like, are you hiding, Sony?
It's messed up that Sony's doing that and Disney's screwing over
Pixar. Yeah, they're fucking Pixar.
Hey, what is Disney doing to Pixar?
Don't worry about it.
Oh my God, they're just screwing them so hard it hurts to watch.
Oh no, are we gonna get Nemo 3?
No, it's all of their movies that have come out in the last three times have not come out in movie theaters, even though movie theaters have been open.
I see.
Only Disney Plus really screwing them over. They're making no money. Sad.
So the thing that is most impressive to me about Emma is the little tiny things that make it feel more human. Like just like the way her eyes like would light up just a little bit more with certain words, or like the little head tilts and stuff. Mm-hmm. That is the crazy technology. Kevin, is that the fourth D? What is, like, I know the 3Ds, but what is this fourth D?
That might be the fourth D, yeah. 30 terabytes of unique 4D data. I mean, I think that is the 72,000 train shapes that they're talking about. I do think that is the impressive thing about this is, I know, like, watching the video, it very obviously isn't a human being, right? You can still tell that it's CG animation from that, but it is the way that Emma is emoting that really throws it off and really made me go, oh my God, like, she's moving very naturally in a way that, like, in a way that is off-putting to me almost. Like, very uncanny, but in a way that's really cool because these tools are being put in the hands of basically any developer that has Unity, right? And so the idea is similar to Unreal Engine 5, where in the preview that we did for that, me and Andy did for that, the devs talked about basically indie devs being able to create big open worlds via the tools that they have available with Unreal Engine 5 and the amount of shit that they can throw into a world because of how powerful the engine is, right? I think this is on the flip side of, for character creation and for animation, a lot of indie devs, a lot of smaller studios are going to be able to take advantage of this and actually make stuff that might look insane down the line.
Yeah, you know, what's crazy to me, and this sounds like a dumb thing to say, but it makes sense. Kev, can you bring Emma back up, please? I like it for her as Emma. It looks more like a real human with CG on top than it does CG being a human. Like, this reminds me of, like, back in the day, if there was a movie about the future and there'd be a person, like, with a hologram, like, if you just made this a little bit blue, it'd be like, oh, okay, that's, like, what we think the future is going to look like of like airports and shit. But here it's like, this looks like a human with like some CG elements on their face. Like, look at even the like neck the and like shoulder event. Area. Like, it looks like she's breathing. It looks like you see like muscle twitches and shit. Like, yeah, that, like her that's
neck
crazy.
When she talks, you can see her neck moves a lot. Like the yeah. lower parts of it.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. Did you ever watch the Kara tech demo that Quantic Dream put out maybe like mm-hmm. a decade ago at this point?
Yeah.
I remember watching that a billion times. I couldn't get over it watching that tech demo. And we've come such a long way since that. I'm sure if we pulled that up. And in fact, Kevin, if you're able to, could you look up Kara tech demo?
I'm already on it.
Yeah, thank you. At the time when I watched that, I was blown away. Partly mm-hmm. because I was really into the, like the tech demo and like the story of it, in which they eventually turn into Detroit Become Human. But also the tech of it struck me as like, this is crazy. This is insane. But I wonder, I've not seen that video in a while. I feel like if I watched that video now, I'd be like, oh, like games look better than this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's tech, right? Like, we just get used to a level of CG. I mean, it reminds me a lot of like watching The Matrix and, you know, seeing like what holds up and what doesn't hold up.
KPC 897-5046. We're just in this era of
CG.
Can you move your head?
That just continues to get better, where there's some movies that look timeless, like looking at like Pirates of the Caribbean, right? The CG in that is so fucking good, and it has a lot to do with the style of it, where it's like it feels like a choice. The problems with it feel like a choice as opposed to a limitation. And mm-hmm. I think that with a lot of this stuff, with the tilts and the motions and stuff, that's what this that we're watching now lacks.
Yeah, yeah, it's wild. I'm like watching this card demo. I'm like, yeah, this looks textures. Like a PS4 game.
Yeah, I mean, she's also an android here, so it's a little not a one-to-one. That's true. My girl, Emma. She's a real girl. All
right, calm
my
down,
girl,
Tim.
Emma, is a real girl.
Calm down.
Can you fast forward a little bit when she, like, actually becomes human?
Up.
Don't worry, they don't show it. This has to be YouTube appropriate. Yeah, no, it's wild how far we've come. Because, yeah, I'm watching this, and I'm like, yeah, this looks like an animation. This looks like it, I played it on PS3 or something. All right, we can put this away. Thank you so much for that, Kevin. But yeah, Unity, congratulations on getting whatchamacallit, Ziva Dynamics. Please don't take over the world with androids. Story number 6. Yakuza creator Toshihiro Nagoshi and NetEase have formed a new studio. This is Marie D'Alessandri at GamesIndustry.biz, and this is one that I think has been about like a year in the making. We've been
hold
talking
on
about
bless
finally
happened. I just had a what's horrible up? Horrible realization
oh, no,
about where we are as a people. Mm-hmm. For years, well, the comparison, the low-hanging fruit joke is that looks like a PS2 game.
Yeah.
We're getting to a point that we could say it looks like a PS3 game, and that has relevance. That has understanding. And what we mean by that is, Kara.
Yeah.
That hurts
weird,
my
right?
soul, bless.
It means we're getting old. Like, we're finally getting old. Up there. Oh, this looks like a PS3 game. When I remember PS3 being the most impressive thing ever, I remember playing NBA 2K on PS3 and being like, yo, this looks real. Now if I played NBA 2K on PS3, I'd be like, why am I playing this? I could be playing NBA 2K.
Why am I playing this?
Why am I playing this right now? Again, this is the Yakuza creator, NetEase, a former new studio, Marie D'Alessandri at GamesIndustry.biz. NetEase unveiled a new studio from veteran Yakuza producer and executive director Toshihiro Nagoshi, simply called Nagoshi Studio. Nagoshi will serve as CEO and representative director of the Tokyo-based developer. The studio has a founding team of eight other members, all veteran from Sega and Yakuza developer Ryu Gotoku Studio. Nagoshi Studio will focus on, quote, developing high-quality console titles that will be released globally, NetEase said. Toshihiro Nagoshi left Sega in February 2021, and reports emerged in August that he was joining NetEase. I'm going to hop from that into a couple of Twitter posts from Nibel, who tweeted out some more details about the situation. This is from Nibel, quote, in an interview with Famitsu, Nagoshi explained that he chose to leave Sega because he didn't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again. He also pointed out that there are less overall constraints at NetEase, and he'll be closer to game dev again. As for the first title from Nagoshi Studio, it's very focused on quality and appealing to core fans and the broader gaming audience. They want to announce it as soon as they can. The game will have a large scale, and Nagoshi is interested in doing things they couldn't do before. So go get him, Nagoshi. Congratulations on the move to NetEase. I'm very curious to see what this is, because, you know, it's not gonna be Yakuza or Judgment, right? Because he doesn't have those IP. I wonder if it's gonna be a lot like those, right? I wonder if he's gonna make a Yakuza like, or if he's gonna go for it and try to make something that's a bit different and new for him.
Yakuza-like. Is that you trying to make a new
phrase? That's me trying to figure out what our new phrase is. Yeah, Yakuza-like. You hear that? Yeah. Judgment is Yakuza-like. I guess Yakuza might be a Shenmue-like, if anything. I don't know. Is this one that interests you at all? Like, do you have any stake in a new Yakuza-like game?
No, I think it's cool. I'm always interested when creators kind of leave a team and then they go off and it's like, what's their project going to be? Is it going to be like a spiritual successor? Is it going to be something completely different? Like, I don't know. It could result in like Balan Wonderworld, right?
Yes. Yes, it can. That was maybe the most cursed thing you could have said about this.
I know.
Like, there's fans of this man.
I know. I'm so sorry. I take that back. That was too brutal for a Monday morning.
That was way too far. But yeah, I'm very curious to see what this is. I like what he's saying about being able to have more freedom and being able to kind of like him being closer to game dev and him not having the overall constraints that you would have at a Sega. That's kind of what you want for creatives. You want creatives to be able to do their own thing and be able to operate the way they want on their game and make the game that they truly believe in and want to make, and also not get burnt out after making the same series over and over and over again. Shout out to Hideo Kojima and Smash creator. I can't think of his name.
Sakurai.
Thank you. Shout out to those two. But yeah, like I'm curious to see what this actually brings out of them, because I know there's a lot of Yakuza fans out there, and like, from playing both some of Yakuza and some of Lost Judgment, those are some good games, some cool games, and I want to see more games like that.
Bless, totally off topic of this, but this weekend, I finally listened to J. Cole's latest album, front to back.
Tim, that came out nine months ago.
I know. I've heard songs here and there, but I just haven't listened to it. I've been sleeping on a classic. I can't fucking believe it. And I know I'm so late to this conversation, but him mentioning Hideo Kojima, I lost my shit. I was like, let's go.
Oh, dude, such a bar. I was repeating that bar all week when I heard that. I was like, man, J. Cole still got it. Yeah, you were sleeping on a classic. That album slaps. Also, shout out to Earl Sweatshirt, who dropped an album last week. I don't know if you listened to Earl Sweatshirt, but that man also still got it.
All right, I got to check that out now. Yeah, next
check
year.
Out that new Earl. Let's round out the Roper Report with story number 7. Sony Pictures Classics picks up Alex Helfrich's animated movie, A Winter's Journey. I know this doesn't sound like a gaming news story, but we'll get there in a second. This is from Anthony D'Alessandro at Deadline. Set in Bavaria in 1812, A Winter's Journey follows an itinerant, lovelorn poet who undertakes a hazardous walk across mountains, ice, and snow, a journey which will bring either death or a new life. Painted by the animation artist behind the Oscar-nominated Loving Vincent, A Winter's Journey is a romantic and epic tale which blends live action with CG and painted animation. The world of the film is the first to be built using PlayStation's Dreams, developed by PlayStation Studios' multiple BAFTA-winning game studio Media Molecule. The pick is an adaptation of Franz Schubert's timeless masterpiece, Winterese, the most performed classical song in the world, or song cycle in the world. Quote, especially in these times, says Helfrich and Tiedel, we feel a need to escape into a different world filled with beauty and timeless music. We're lucky to be working with some of the world's greatest actors, artists, and musicians, and couldn't think of a better partner than Sony Pictures Classics to bring our film to diverse audiences, end quote. That's cool. Dreams being made to use like an actual movie.
Yeah, that's absolutely wild. I wouldn't have expected this, especially now, like maybe being like a tied in marketing thing around the release of Dreams. But that's kind of cool that Dreams is out there doing its thing. You know, I mean, I do think this kind of expands the worldview of what's possible in terms of movie creation and all of that, you know.
Yeah, this is one of those things that I would have thought about happening before Dreams came out. Like when we speculate about what's the power of Dreams, what can Dreams can do? Before that game came out, I feel like we had hopes for Dreams being able to do everything, right? People are going to be able to make movies, make albums, and make games that'll come out on the PlayStation Store and all these things in Dreams. And now that Dreams has been out for a couple of years, it came out, was impressive, but also didn't really, I don't think, lived up to the potential that it had in terms of people taking it and making wild things with it that existed outside of Dreams. And for us getting this news, you know, this, I feel like, is one of the first times where I'm like, oh shit, yeah, like, Dreams is like a really good, the tools are great, and I don't think people are really arguing the tools, but this is the first time where I'm looking at this and I'm like, shit, man, like, Dreams might have it in the tank if we start seeing more stuff like this, more projects like this. And of course, like, Sony picks it up as a way to boost it, obviously, but you know, that's still huge that they're picking up a film and putting in that work. And I'm sure this will come out and have like you know, might be Oscar nominated if their track record is anything to go by, and that's gonna be huge for them. And so yeah, I wonder what this means for the actual like potential that Dreams has even beyond this. Do we start seeing more stuff like this out of Dreams?
Yeah, I mean, people have made entire YouTube videos in Dreams.
People have, yeah, even on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. People can maybe check out the Blessing Show where I'm hosting it from Dreams and talking about Dreams. I had another thing I was gonna mention about Dreams.
Is that the most popular episode?
No, it's not. It was fucking Greg Miller talking about Avengers.
Fucking Greg Miller talking about Avengers.
Yeah, it's like, and the worst part about it is that every time the Dreams video is about to catch up on it, Avengers drops some content, and then the Avengers video gets thousands of more views. And I'm like, fuck, man, almost. Like, we almost catch it every single time. So go check out that Dreams episode. Yeah, watch it. Give it the views. If you already watched it, watch it again. Yeah. What was the thing I was going to say about Dreams? I forget what I was going to say about Dreams. Anyway, I want to go check Dreams out again, because I did that last year around this time for that video, and I was super impressed by the Dreams that I came across, right? The games and stuff that people were making in there. And like, I forget if I mentioned this one in the Dreams video. I must have, right? There's a dream called Lock, which is a first-person puzzle game where you go through a house and you're solving puzzles. And it is basically The Witness, but with words. And it is, to this day, one of the most like impressive things I've seen in a creation tool like that, to the point where if they released that just on the PlayStation Store and sold it for $10, it would have... I think that's the thing you could have done, and it would have popped off. Now I remember what I was going to say. I was going to say, bring Dreams to PC. I don't understand why Dreams is on PC. That's what I was going to say. More people need to get their hands on Dreams.
There was a... This weekend, something was going viral of somebody trying to remake the Jurassic Park T-Rex in Dreams. And it was just unbelievable.
That was happening, like, I want to say at a certain point weekly when Dreams first came out. When it came out in beta or in early access, there was, like, viral stuff left and right coming out of Dreams.
Yeah, and I can't find it now, but that's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like now that we're a few years ahead of it, it's not as like newsworthy anymore. Like, people are like, oh yeah, you can make stuff in Dreams, but the game's still impressive. Like, Dreams is still an impressive tool that, again, if they bring it to PC, or even if they put a version of it free on PlayStation or PS Plus, maybe allow you to play the games for free. There is so much you can do with Dreams if you market it and put it in people's hands that I feel like they're kind of missing out on.
Kev, Fix It Richie in the chat just dropped the Twitter link. If you could bring that up for a sec.
Yeah. Kev, bring that up as you're doing that.
Hold on one second. I can hear. I'm trying to fix something on Nick's computer. And I guess he's talking to Andy, so I can hear it.
Can the audience hear it?
No, they can't hear it.
Can we allow the audience to hear it?
No. That would be a breach of confidence there.
A breach of confidence.
Tim, I can't wait for Kev to bring up this thing that you linked, but Kev doing that, you don't have to. So far away. Well, he did it.
It's so loud.
She's crazy.
This is cool. This is cool as hell. I'm laughing because the audio listeners kind of fucking screaming out of nowhere. But yeah, no, this looks insane. Holy shit.
Yeah. Shout out to Dreams. Holy cow.
This is fucking crazy. Shout out to Dreams. Tim, I can't wait for Dreams to eventually come to PC, but it seems like that might be so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom Drop Shops today, where'd I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got Hidden Deep for PC, and then The Demon Lord is new in town for PC. New days for you, Weird West is coming to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Game Pass March 31st. Strategy RPG Heroes Hour comes to PC on March 1st. Apex Legends Season 12 Defiance launches February 8th, featuring a new legend named Mad Maggie. And then this is breaking, A Memoir Blue, the interactive poem from Annapurna Interactive and Cloisters Interactive, will now launch on March 24th, 2022 for Xbox Series X, Xbox Game Pass, PS5, PS4, Switch, and PC. The short delay will help ensure that A Memoir Blue launches in its best form. And I'm sure that's to also ensure that Memoir Blue doesn't get lost in February, because February is insane. But looking forward to Memoir Blue. Tim, of course, people can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where they can go, they can get the show ad-free, they can write in with their questions, they can write in with their squad-ups. This week, or I should say today specifically, we got a special write-in from the one, the only, Kenny Ballou. If you remember that name, of course, Kenny Ballou is the person that writes in every 100 episodes for 100 episode roundups. And of course, today, Tim, is our 1,100th episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. Hurry, everybody.
Insane.
Wild.
A lot of numbers.
It's a lot of episodes. Kenny Ballou wrote in with a whole write-up talking about the different stats, as he does. And I'm going to go through it. I pared down. I'm sure Kenny Ballou will post all this on Reddit if you want to get the deep dive. I edited it down as much as I can because there's a lot in here. And so, Tim, let's get into it. Again, these are all Kenny Ballou's words. Kenny Ballou writes in and says, today, Monday, January 24th, 2021, 2022, actually, is the 1,100th episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. Congratulations. After what may have been the biggest week news-wise, and hopefully views/listens-wise, you've reached another 100-episode milestone. As I did for the previous 100-episode milestones, I put together some stats and fun facts about the show. I tried to keep it a bit smaller than last time. It got pretty lengthy for the 1,000th episode recap. Feel free to pare down, and then I'll post the full rundown on Reddit like usual, so there you go. There have been a total of 123 hosts of the show, only two new host additions since episode 1000, Ryan Penagos, and Hombo. For the regulars, the rankings are as follows. Greg has a total of 657 shows, that's plus 23 since last time. Tim has a total of 386 shows, that's plus 46 since last time. Blessing, that's me, has a total of 302 shows, that's plus 51 shows since last time. And I'm closing in strong on Tim. Andrea, RIP, is sitting at 173. Gary is sitting at 167. And then I'm going to go all the way down to number 9, where we have some folks who have been appearing on the show a little bit more recently. Andy has a total of 44 shows, that is plus 16. And number 10, Janet is sitting at 31 shows, that is plus 18 since 1,000. And then Tamor is sitting at 27 shows, that is plus 22 since 1,000.
That's cool.
Right?
That's real quick, cool. I mean, Imran at 99. We got to figure out his 100th appearance. We got to figure out and do something cool.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. We for sure got to do that. And to give people context, right, I jumped down. But, yeah, Andrea's number 4, Gary's number 5, Imran's number 6, Jared is number 7, Fran is number 8, and then we get to number 9 at Andy. For hosting combos, at number 1, we got Greg and Tim at 154 shows. At number 2, Greg and Andrea at 121 shows still, which is wild. At number 3, Greg and Gary at 112 shows. At number 4, Tim and Blessing at 101 shows. We've had the largest jump since episode 1000 with plus 19 shows. And then at number 5, it is Greg and me at 75 shows, plus 3 since 1000. Of course, the
Dude,
show...
I think that at the... Eventually, mm-hmm. me and you will be the most common one.
You think so? You think we're going to overtake Greg and Andrea? Oh, actually, we're close. What? Never mind. We're close.
Yeah, I think we will. Because me and you consistently host together.
The number one is Greg and Tim right now.
But me and Greg, which is on the calendar for us to do it every week, we don't always do it every week, you know? So I think that over time, it's going to take a while. But I think that me and you, we got it in us, dude.
I hope so. I think we'll get there. It might take maybe like a year or two for us to finally hit it. But I think we'll get there. I'm right there with you. For hosting combos, Greg and Tim. Wait, no, did I already do this one? I already did this one. The show is run by one of the hosts who reads the Roper Report segment transitions, etc. The rankings for this is at number 1, Greg at 633 shows. That is plus 23 since episode 1000. Number 2 is me at 237 shows. That is plus 44 since 1000. At number 3 is Tim with 88 shows. Number 4, Andrea with 30 shows. And at number 5 is Imran at 29 shows. Then a few spots down, we got at number 9, Janet Garcia at 15 shows, a new entry. That is plus 9 since episode 1000. For some advanced metrics, the rankings for percentage of shows run to shows hosted for KF employees and part-timers. I love this because now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. You know, now we're getting to statistics. This is like when you reach page 3 of like your Smash statistics to see like what characters have picked up the most items and shit. At number 1,
worldview.
At number 1, we have Greg at 96.3% of his episodes hosted versus episodes in the guest seat. And number 2 is me, 78.5%. And number 3, Tamor, 63%. And number 4, Nick Scarpino at 50% of the shows hosted on KFGD. That's really funny.
And I don't get Nick off this list in any way. It's a disgrace.
Right? And number five, Janet Garcia at 48.4% of her shows hosted. Rankings for those who have done the sound effects for the show. That is the Roper's Report jingle, Baker's Dozen, etc. At number one is Kevin at 785 shows. That is plus 87 in the last 100 shows. At number two is Barrett with 193 shows. That is plus 13. And then the rest of the rankings remain unchanged, except at number seven is the combination of Kevin and Andy when Kevin's voice stopped working. That happened sometime in the last 100 episodes. I do not recall.
I love our lives. Right? None of this makes sense. Thank you all for watching.
Yeah, thank you all for being a part of this ridiculousness. And then let's see here. Updated Roper Report info. And let me tell you, this is a stat that has stuck in my mind, Tim, since we read it on the episode 1000, all right? There have been a drum roll of 5,274.1 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
And I'll be honest, I try to get those numbers up sometimes. But like I also try to keep the show good, and so like it's kind of hard to get those numbers up. At number one, right, Greg has had a total of 2,900.6 items, and that is plus 122 since the last 100. I am at number two with 1,244.5 Roper Report items. Tim's at number three at 451. Imran is at 138.5, unchanged. At number five is Jared.
Wow.
And then this next part is the most interesting part to me, and I know it will be to Tim and for people who listen to the Kind of Funny Games Daily post show. Incredibly, there have now been a total of 453 shows since the last show in the studio. That means over 40% of all the KFGD episodes have not been done at the studio. This stat continues to amaze me. Yeah. Over 40%
have been worked from home. Right? That sounds wrong. Man. Right?
We've been working from home for 2 years. And KFGD started in 2017?
Yeah.
So that's about right.
Wow.
Mid-2017 is KFGD. Let's see. Where did I stop? This stat continues to amaze me. I feel like you guys were just in the studio a year ago, and I feel like that too. It's still wild.
Yeah.
And then this is where we get into the post-show stuff. Maybe the best addition to the show over the past few hundred episodes or so is the shit list. On the post-show, where Blessing, Tim, and Barrett discuss and critique a video game list put together by someone on the internet. Sometimes it gets quite heated. Here's looking at you, the gamer's list of top 15 modern platformers better than Mario 3D World. What a terrible list.
Disgusting
list. I think this may be my favorite segment. Seriously, if you're not a Patreon member, to get this, it's worth it alone. A few notes on the shit list. There have been a total of 40 shitlist segments, possibly 41. I'll get to that in a second. The first unofficial segment of the shitlist was on April 3rd, 2020. Kevin was running the post show, so no Barrett. It remained unnamed until the 12th segment on April 26th, 2021, almost a year later. On that post show, Tim suggested the name shitlist, and it stuck. That could have been the 13th episode of the shitlist, but on October 26th, 2020, Blessing had proposed to look at another list, every rare game ranked. But Tim decided to answer a reader mail question instead. On Wednesday, June 9th, 2021, there may have been an episode of the shitlist, but the only audio on the post show was Barrett, lol. It sounded like they were discussing rankings of things, but it can't be counted as an official episode. Very fair. Hey, it happens.
Yeah, it's happened to me. It happens so easily.
Typically, it is Blessing, Tim, and Barrett, but there have been three shitlist segments without Tim, May 10th and 24th, 2021, and November 1st, 2021. Each of those days, Tim had to leave early without doing the post show. Kevin has been a part twice instead of Barrett. Roger has also been a part of it three times instead of Barrett. Of the 40 segments, two have been remixes. Once Barrett had Tim create his own rankings for his favorite E3 press conferences, and the second time was Blessing and Barrett reviewing a list of the best Nickelodeon cartoons. Blessing pulls the list from various websites across the internet. A few have been featured multiple times. Games Radar with 8 lists, Game Rant 4 lists, The Gamer 4 lists. Barrett rightfully hates the Gamer lists. They are controversial. Screen Rant is sitting at 3 lists. Complex is sitting at 3 lists. Culture of Gaming is 3. Game Informer is 3. And then Watch Mojo is sitting at 3 lists. Congratulations on making it to 1,100 episodes. It's truly incredible how the show keeps growing and it keeps getting better. Thank you for all the hard work you put into the show every single day. Love, Kenny Ballou. And Kenny Ballou, we love you. Thank you so much for the write-up, especially for the shitlist stuff. I know it doesn't matter for probably most of the viewers since most people don't get the post show, but for people that watch the post show and hang out with the shitlist, it is my favorite part of the show, and it's something that we have a lot of fun with. And so I highly recommend listen to the shitlist. This post show for today's episode might be us revisiting every rare game ranked. So get ready for that, Tim. And it's not, let me clarify, it's not actually every rare game. It's the top 10 best games by rare. I couldn't find the every rare game ranked article.
That's a lot of games.
But still, we're going to be talking about some rare games. But yeah, thank you again, Kenny Blue. And again, thank you everybody for 1,100 episodes. That is incredible. And the fact that I've been here long enough to be number two most hosting on the show blows my mind, because I used to listen to the show every day when Greg was hosting. And so, crazy. Yeah, thanks again. Fucking wild. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. That's where you write in. Let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so you can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and on podcast services. Nano writes in and says, "Bless, you said we got Pokemon Sleep, but that game still isn't out yet." I don't think I meant to imply that we already got it. I think when I said we got it, I think I was meaning like we got the announcement or the idea of it. But yeah, if we had no Pokemon Sleep, of course I'd be using it, Nano. You know, I'm well aware that we don't have Pokemon Sleep, especially because I don't get good sleep nowadays, you know. Let's see. Mm-mm-mm. Okay, Nano, now you're just nitpicking, Nano.
I mean, he's nitpicking, but I appreciate it here. Tim said Legends Arceus is 1 week away, but it comes out this Friday, way sooner than it actually feels. That's wild. Wild that it's that soon. Days away. Fuck yeah.
Kebab says Weta is pronounced Weta, like wet, because I said Weta. Also, the acquisition was Weta Digital. Weta Workshop. The acquisition was Weta Digital. Weta Workshop, famous for making swords. And I don't know. I don't think I've got that one wrong, but sure. And then, Kevin, you say you don't think so. You don't think it's pronounced Weta?
No, it is saying Weta. You didn't say it wrong. I didn't hear you say it wrong. I thought you nailed it.
I didn't notice that either, but whatever.
Bander SN says, the Zelda 35th anniversary included the Zelda game and watch and the Zelda Skyward Sword Joy-Cons, which were dope.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, I thought somebody was kidding with me, but I think they're being serious. Plumbers writes in and says, the fourth dimension in 4D is time. So saying that their data is 4D means it's video instead of still images.
That sounds dumb. That's not something you brag about. Yeah?
Oh man.
That's it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. This week's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily go like this. Tomorrow you're getting Greg and Gary Witta. Wednesday you're getting me and Andy. Thursday you're getting Greg and Tim. And then Friday you're getting me and TM Tamor Hussein from GameSpot. Get hyped for that. If you're watching this live on Twitch after this, is I gotta check the calendar because I think there was a switch up. I think it's Andy and Mike playing a game.
Nope.
It Takes Two.
Mike's
Andy and Nick. Andy and Nick playing It Takes Two or Icarus. So one of those. Look forward to that. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. I'm laughing because somebody, some jokester out there in the middle of my like sign-off write-up put the word banana. And I don't know. And I don't know who would do such a thing, but I think it might have been Greg Miller.
It wasn't Greg.
Kevin. Wait, that is. How have we went 1,100 episodes of the show without Kevin fucking with the doc that we're reading off?
Oh no, we haven't. I've done it before.
Oh my lord!
I think to bless
you, do the nerdy news you need to know about banana. We have a Patreon function.
He got it though. He got it. I was upset when he didn't because I updated that after this. Andy and Nick beat 2021 Game of the Year. It Takes Two.
Oh, you updated that? I didn't notice.
Yeah, I updated that. So I was like, shit, he's not reading everything verbatim. Yeah. Damn.
That is the thing. I write everything down, but I don't read every single thing.
Yeah,
I just
read
it when I like, I'm like, just in case. That's really funny.
I need somebody to clip out Kevin's little laugh because it is, that's a level of maniacal that I've known him since I was 4 years old and I've never heard that chaos.
I've done it before. Man. I added the word lightsaber into someone's script and they read it. I can't remember who it was, but they read it. No problem. They were just like, huh.
It's the fact that, like, it's just the all the words banana you just put in the middle of my script. I love it. Oh man. Anyway, banana. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the server level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, game daily.